Today is March 5th, 2009, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 141, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor for TMO.
Episode number 141. You know, it seems like only months ago that we were doing episode 140.
You know, and if numbers could be palindromes, this would be our special palindrome episode.
That is true. That is true. And palindrome or just the pachyderm. The pachyderm is what I was trying to think of. It's not really all that funny, but be that as it may, I am Brian Chaffin, man about town, haberdasher extraordinaire, and cuisine art specialist. To get the full story on anything we cover.
I really am easily entertained.
In this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/AWR. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com. And, of course, Jeff's laughing because I always come up with some new title to call myself. So today's was
actually
silly.
In our show notes that we work from, it actually says, and I'm Brian Chaffin, your title here.
So today I'm man about town, haberdasher extraordinaire, and cuisine art specialist. In the meanwhile, if after that you actually want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at TMO Brian. It's TMOBRYAN. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I follow you at that Twitter address.
That's
absolutely
good. I follow you.
And yeah, and if you want to follow me, I'm at Twitter as well. I'm Jay Gamet. That's JGAMET. And yes, you can see all the amazing things that go on inside my little head throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. No, wait, what? So, Jeff, you're doing a trip soon. Do you mind pimping that for us? Because I think folks would like to know.
Oh, sure. I have absolutely no problem doing the pimp action. Man, I'm totally picturing myself in the crushed purple velvet zoot suit, even.
Mm-hmm.
And I look sharp.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so on March 10th, I'm going to be in Austin at the CapMac Macintosh User Group, which I'm actually excited about this on a couple levels. First, CapMac is a really great user group, so I'm excited to get a chance to go see these people. And then second, this is going to be my first trip to Austin ever.
I love Austin, Kansas. It's a great town. Blink, blink.
Wait a second. I'm going to Kansas, not Texas?
Well, crap. You didn't specify, so I just assumed you meant Austin, Kansas.
Yes. So Austin, Texas.
Oh, Austin, Texas. I see. I spent 15 years there.
Which is substantially longer than I've ever been there.
Yeah, you'll like it, man. It's a good place. You should go to Chewy's.
I've been told that by several people.
Yeah, got to go to Chewy's, and you should also get some fajitas at Taco Cabana.
I've been to Taco Cabana somewhere else.
Well, there
so
used to
I'm
be
assuming
some
that
in
this is
Denver.
Okay, so I'm assuming the altitude makes a difference.
That must yes.
Yeah, so all right, so Taco Cabana is on the list also. Chewy's is definitely on the list. And
so if you're listening to this, folks, and you're in Austin, you should get involved with CapMac. They're a really good user group. And the meeting's going to be at 7 p.m. It's going to be held at the Sherlock's Baker Street Pub. Yes, it is at a pub. At 9012 Research Boulevard, you can get the directions along with a full lineup of the evening's presentations at the CapMac website. And we have links at the show notes.
We do. And come by, if for no other reason than just to say hi.
Exactly.
Because I'd love to meet every one of you. And when I say that, I really mean it.
Hurrah.
That's right. Hoorah. Hey, are there still bats living under the bridge there?
Yeah, every year, buddy.
Will they be there by the time I get there, or am I going to be there ahead of them?
Well, I was only there for 15 years, so I never actually made it by to check out the bats. True story. But I believe that they are a fall event. I don't think they're a winter event.
Well, that's too bad. All right. Well, if anyone has time to arrange for some bats to be there while I'm there, please do. And you can send me a message on Twitter, and I really want to see the bats in Austin. So cool. If they're not there, I guess I'm going to have to make another trip back in the fall.
To the news.
Apple gave us what everyone was hoping for at January's Macworld Expo this week when it updated its complete desktop computer lineup, gave the MacBook Pro a little speed bump, and updated its airport base station and time capsule. TBR says the PC market has finally hit bottom, at least in terms of pricing, and Bill Gates' wife has a little bit of iPhone envy.
Apple introduced new Mac Pro models on March 3rd that sport Intel's Nehalem Xeon processors and a new system architecture. The Mac Pro is available in quad-core and 8-core configurations with processors running up to 2.93 GHz. Like Apple's unibody laptops, the new Mac Pros are carved from a single large block of aluminum. Wait, that's not true. That's actually not true. But they do include a mini display port. Can you imagine? And it keeps the dual-link DVI video ports from the previous Mac Pro model. The new model also includes 4 FireWire 800 ports, a feature that some people were afraid of that Apple would drop because there aren't any FireWire 400 ports on the unibody MacBook. So you can get FireWire 800 on the new Mac Pros, but you cannot get the original FireWire. Pricing on the new Mac Pro starts at $24.99. That's U.S. dollars, $300 less than the previous entry-level model.
And Apple also updated its iMac and Mac Mini lineup. The new iMac sports lower prices across the board, and the new Mac Mini gained the same NVIDIA GeForce 9400M video processor that's found in the unibody MacBook. And yes, that MacBook is carved from a single block of aluminum. The new iMac is available with a 20 or 24-inch glossy display, continues to use Intel's Core 2 Duo processor, and includes a mini display port. The updated Mac Mini includes 5 USB ports, mini display and mini DVI video ports, and it includes a FireWire 800 port, just like the new iMac. The new iMac is priced starting at $1,499, and the Mac Mini is priced starting at $599.
As if there weren't enough new things coming out of Cupertino this week, Apple also quietly updated the processor speed for its 15-inch unibody MacBook Pro. The mid-range model now ships with the same 2.66 GHz processor Apple is using in the 17-inch unibody MacBook Pro, but the faster unit on this 15-inch is going to set you back $24.99. Now, is that the same price as the old one?
Yes, I believe the price stayed the same.
So the iMac dropped $300 at the entry level. The Mac Pro at the entry level dropped $300, and the MacBook Pro is still at the same price at $24.99.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and Apple bumped the specs of its Time Capsule and Airport Extreme, adding in support for dual-band Wi-Fi. The new units will support up to 50 users on the 2.4 GHz and 5 GHz frequencies. They will also support guest networking so that you can allow people to use your internet connection without giving them access to the rest of your network. Apple's Airport Extreme base station is available now. It's priced at $179, and the dual band time capsule is $299 for the 500 gigabyte model or $499 for the 1 terabyte model.
Wow, so they're charging $200 more for a drive that costs $40 more than the smaller drive.
Don't you love capitalism?
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Of course, I bought one. So maybe I'm the fool. Speaking of bottom feeders, the bottom feeding mentality from most PC vendors has led to a collapse in their average selling price. That's ASP is what the geeky finance dudes tend to call that. and that collapse is both permanent and structural, according to Ezra Gotthill of Technology Business Research Incorporated. Mr. Gotthill said that PC manufacturers' rush to the bottom has achieved its goal and hit bottom. Customers have been fully and completely trained to understand that a PC is worthless. Mr. Godhill said that while the trend towards lower ASPs has been occurring for some time, it accelerated during the December quarter, in part due to netbooks. His conclusion from this is that, quote, the PC market is changing radically. Vendors must look to change their relationships with buyers, establishing longer-term relationships and providing valuable paid services after the sale. No longer dominated by hardware or software, PCs are becoming a service business. The change in the market represents vendors... The change in the market presents vendors with threats and opportunities. Companies that can figure out how to embrace this trend most quickly and profitably will emerge as winners, and the winner's circle may contain different players from those who stand there now. It's one of the best research notes I've read in a long time, and that was the end of that quote, by the way. So how does this relate to Apple? Jeff and I are going to talk about that in the Context Machine.
Ooh, I can't wait. And Melinda Gates, wife to Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates and co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, sometimes wants an iPhone. But despite the temptation, neither she nor her kids can get one.
Aww.
Same goes with the iPod.
Oh, that's so sad.
In an interview published by Vogue magazine, Mrs. Gates said, quote, there are very few things that are on the banned list in our household, but iPods and iPhones are two things we don't get for our kids.
Aww.
As for herself,
oh,
I has a sad for Melinda Gates.
Oh.
As for herself, she said, quote, every now and then I look at my friends and I say, oh, I wouldn't mind having that iPhone.
Is your Melinda Gates, is she a character in the Family Guy?
Apparently she is. I honestly have no idea why that voice happened right then, but there you go. I wouldn't mind having that iPhone. And I'm sure she batted her eyes at the same
actually,
time.
Actually, I think she is from Dallas, now that you mentioned
it. Oh, well, so apparently I'm actually really channeling Melinda Gates.
Maybe.
Wow. Okay. As Brian wrote in our piece, however, it would be fairly easy just to write a hit-and-run article mocking her for these quotes, but the context of the interview with Vogue is probably worth far more than the angst of the world's wealthiest woman being denied something simply because it was made by her husband's chief foe. The truth is, though, that the Vogue interview was asking about her kids and how she and her husband work hard to raise them in a normal fashion despite having billions of dollars. Oh, the cross they bear. The real focus of the article was about her work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and Brian and I both tip our hats to the Gates for that work.
Absolutely, and with no joke whatsoever, the Bill and Gates
right.
The foundation is doing some awesome things out there.
Yes, it is.
Okay, folks, that sound means it's time for the Context Machine. This is where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
Now, I wasn't listening closely to the sound. Was it? Oh.
No, it wasn't. But unbeknownst to you when we were doing it, what I've done in the mixing process is I've actually added some royalty-free sound effects of other people saying, ah.
No. What you did was turn on the microphone for our live studio audience.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, there were actually, you don't know this, or you didn't know this. You know it now. There were lots of other people saying, with us, and that delights me.
I was kind of hoping there would be. So thank you for taking the initiative to turn on the microphone for our live studio audience.
Exactly. Thanks, everybody. Oh, see, they seem to like that one.
Oh, good.
You see, I added some people cheering.
You totally don't get how this works, do you?
No, I guess I don't. So, you know, we didn't mention this, but I really want to stress this. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has rewritten the rules in terms of what a charitable foundation can be and what it can do.
Yeah, they've done a lot for people all over the world, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that they have chosen to take the literal gobs of money that they have accumulated and to put it to good use, helping other people.
They're putting it to really good use, and they're not just giving it away. They're through the foundation, they're doing things like working on disease prevention and farming issues and research for AIDS. Like there was a quote that we put in the article. No, maybe I didn't put it in the article, but she says that they're hoping to end AIDS and malaria. She says, yeah, I know it's a difficult task, but we're not going to be daunted. I mean, that's some ballsy stuff.
Yeah.
And
good for them for taking that on.
Yeah, good for them for taking it on. And I do think it was rather silly of her to say that, I wouldn't mind having that iPhone. But, I mean, that was a silly thing to allow herself to get quoted on. But, just the stuff that they're doing. The stuff that they're doing through the foundation is good stuff. I would really recommend that you go and you read the interview in Vogue. It's interesting. It's really fascinating, I thought. And there you have it.
And, of course, every time you read one of Melinda's statements in the article, be sure and use that same voice that I did.
Aww.
Just not right.
All right, let's get on to the more important stuff this week. A couple days ago, the new Mac show.
Yeah, I included the line earlier about Apple gave us what everyone was hoping for at Macworld, because I think this is the product lineup that everyone really was hoping would get announced at Macworld Expo instead of an hour long presentation on iPhoto.
Right.
And I think it's actually a nice...
You're a dick.
Yes. Yes, I am. Hey, we both had to sit through that iPhoto presentation.
Phil did a good job with the material that he had. And
yes, he did.
I think that there are a lot of new and interesting features in iLife and iWork. Yeah, I would love to have seen some new Macs. I would love to have seen these new Macs. I absolutely and positively would have loved it, but I enjoyed that keynote. I did. It's a true story.
I'm giving Phil a hard time, but I'm doing it with love, because I really think that Phil was put in a horrible position. I mean, he was given a horrible task in that he was thrust in a position where he had to give the final keynote for Apple at Macworld Expo, and there was a lot of bitterness just surrounding the whole thing.
Yep.
And he was put in a no-win scenario, and Phil went through his Kobayashi Maru, and I think he did really, really well given the material he had, the circumstances he had to present under, and I think he did great. And there's all kinds of people out there right now going, oh my God, Jeff did the Star Trek reference.
I was going to try to let it slide, but now that you pointed it out.
Someone had, thank you.
Oh, they seem to like that one again.
I love our studio audience. They're the best ever.
Oh, they are. They always seem to command our awe at the right time.
They're trained well. but we digress. New Macs. Apple has them.
New Macs. Have you noticed that we've been roughly at the same megahertz speeds now for 2 or 3 years?
We have. And it's been other things that have been changing to give us that extra speed that everyone wants.
Right. Yeah. These processors, for instance, the ones that are being used in the Mac Pros, the Nehalem processors, are basically represent, I think, a 20% speed boost for the same speed if you're going to compare them to the previous processors.
Right.
And they're doing a lot with the system architecture and they're definitely spiffier machines, and I like that Apple had brought the price down on the entry level. But we're going to get to this. We're going to get to the price compression issue when we start talking about Ezra from TBR's research note. I think that Apple's going to have to find that they're going to have to find a way to get these towers even lower unless they want to see the sales for this particular kind of model just collapse. That's what
I think. That's going to be a pretty fine line. Apple's going to have to walk there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but we'll
and
get
keep
to that.
In mind. Yeah. Okay. So yes, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So what do you think of the new iMac models though?
I like the new iMac models actually. And I didn't know if I would. Of course, the same complaint that I will always have, I still have, which is only a glossy display. Nah.
Right.
But then again, you know, I understand the market that they're going for with this product, and that's an appropriate display for that market. So I can't complain too much. But I like that it still has FireWire because I think FireWire is an important feature to have on that computer because it's kind of a crossover machine, but I'll call it a prosumer machine.
Sure, but I don't know. It's not just a prosumer machine. It can be. It bridges. I think it actually spans the gamut. If you'll pardon the term, the pun from an entry level consumer machine to at least a mid level entry level kind of thing for consumers as well as the prosumer. So it can scale up to the prosumer, but I think it's a great machine for. Your normal Mac users too.
Oh, absolutely. And if I were to recommend a new computer to my dad today, mm-hmm. I'd tell him to go out and get the new iMac.
Yeah, for most people, I'd recommend the new iMac.
Yeah, it's a really nice machine. I like that it does have the FireWire 800. I like that it has a reasonable amount of memory in it. Do you mm-hmm. remember the days when Apple would ship computers that were a slap in the face as far as RAM goes?
Yeah, you couldn't really run anything with it, which you know is interesting about the Mac Mini coming with 2 gigs of RAM now. That makes the Mac Mini quite usable.
It does, and with 5 USB ports mm-hmm. plus a FireWire 800 port,
mm-hmm.
I mean that's a machine that. That's a good desktop machine for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's also a really good home server for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that accounts for why there's so many USB ports on it too.
Oh yeah, for sure, absolutely. So, yeah, so I think that the updates were all it was all of course quite evolutionary. There was nothing revolutionary in any of these particular refreshes, but they're good looking machines. Apple did bring the price down a little bit. Just a little bit, and I think that'll hopefully do for them for the nonce. Now, I actually picked up as we mentioned during the news. I actually picked up one of the new time capsules. I got the terabyte model, and it's a slick piece of Wi-Fi base station, in my opinion.
You know, I think the time capsule is a pretty cool product. I know a few people that have problems with them, but in many cases, I have a feeling they might be isolated issues because of other things they're doing. So putting those people off to the side, the time capsule looks to me to be a really cool product, very useful. And then with the new features they've added in so that you can do the network segregation thing and just have your guest access.
You can lower the power output of the signal.
Right.
Which, will help not only of course makes it more efficient, but maybe keeps your apartment neighbors from being able to as easily see your network.
Right. And it can broadcast and receive on the 2.4 and 5 gigahertz frequencies at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it's a solid
machine.
Which
is nice.
And I had, I think it was the second generation UFO. Might have been the first generation UFO Airport Extreme. But it's one of the two.
Right.
I just don't remember. We've had it for so long. I noticed an instantaneous speed increase in terms of how fast pages were loading up. And that's probably, of course, because it's simply, on the faster .11n protocol.
Right. Right.
So, there's probably a jillion reasons why it's faster, starting and ending with the with the fact that it supports the faster protocol. But it was, very easy to set up. It's a fabulous little unit, and I'm quite pleased with it. Oh,
right. Now,
sorry. Biggest thing, dude. Mm-hmm. We used to not get any signal from our living room. We've got the airport base station was always back in one of their back rooms, and we could not get a signal in the front room without bridging the network. And we've gone to full signal strength in the living room with this new unit.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. I'm glad you got it, because now I know someone firsthand that actually has one.
And
now with this new base station that's out, when I finally get around to replacing my aging UFO airport mm-hmm. extreme, I'll be able to dump a lot of gear, actually.
Oh, good. Because,
yeah, right now I'm using the Airport Extreme. I have an old Belkin router that I bought when my what was the company? I think it was Extreme Mac.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
They used to make routers and stuff.
Right.
And I had one of theirs that burned up and was in a bind and ran out to a store that doesn't exist anymore, CompUSA,
mm-hmm.
and picked up a throwaway router that's still working like 5 years later.
Mm.
And so I have this hodgepodge of gear that I can just get rid of if I get around to actually buying that new base station.
Well, I heartily recommend the time capsule with the following caveat, and that is that Apple's pricing on the size of the hard drive is as out of whack as their pricing on RAM used to be about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. So this is like some kind of disorder Apple has, where they're simply compelled to have some type of upgrade that's priced way out of reality.
Yeah, it seems like it. So, for instance, the Airport Extreme base station right now is $179. Now, of course, it's a slightly different form factor and everything. But you can get the Extreme base station by itself for $179. Or you can add a $50 at the retail level. You know, not even what Apple's paying for it, of course, because Apple does need to make a profit on what it's selling. But sure. A 500 gig drive right now is retailing for about $50, which is just crazy, but that's another story. And so they're charging $120 for that, and they're charging another $200 for a 1 terabyte model, when the a 1 terabyte drive right now is priced at under $100. So it's a price differential of 50-ish, less than 50.
Right, and they're charging a couple hundred.
Yeah, they're charging $200 for it. So I think, of course, I was silly enough to do it, but that's because I'm a boy. And, we needed the extra space for sure. And what I'm not sure about is whether or not you can open these things up relatively easily and replace the drive, which is probably what we should have done. We should have gotten the smaller one and replaced the drive if you can. I just don't know if you can.
I would assume that one of the sites like Tech Restore will have step-by-step take-aparts within days.
Yeah, that's probably true. That is probably true. Yeah. And if it is possible that one can do that, I would recommend anyone buy the 500 gig unit for $299 and just stick a 2 gig drive in there and be good to go for a while, for years.
Yeah, okay. So everyone's going to run out and start cracking open their Airport Extreme, their time capsules, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's crackable, though. I'm sure that Apple has done their best to make it uncrackable.
Everything's crackable with a big enough hammer.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Speaking of hammers, let's talk about our friends at Smile on My Mac. You like that segue?
Brian, I love the segues you come up with.
Thanks.
So, yeah, our sponsor this week is Smile on My Mac and their PDF Pen Pro product, which, by the way, was updated actually on the same day that Apple released all of their stuff. But their update was not lost on me, because actually I love PDF Pen Pro.
Yeah, it's a good product. And they're sponsoring us.
Yeah, and they're. So the deal is, if you're not familiar with what PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro are, if you ever need to do anything with a PDF beyond just simply looking at it, this is a really great product to get into, because you can manipulate your PDFs. You can, if you're using PDF Pen Pro, you can create forms, you can blend PDFs together, so you can take pages from multiple documents and put them together as a single document. Anytime I have to fill out a form that's in PDF format and include a signature and all that, I do it all with PDF Pen Pro. And I actually have some template files that include like a scan of my signature and stuff, so I can just drop it on the document and it looks like I actually signed it. It's incredibly powerful software that's amazingly easy to use. And with the update that they just did, one of the features that people have been hoping for a while is there. So before, when you'd go to look at multiple pages in a document, it'd be like you have one page, set it aside, look at the next page, set it aside, that kind of a style of viewing. Mm-hmm. You can still do that, but now you can do that kind of continuous scroll thing where it's like one giant long sheet of paper. Little lines so you can tell where each page is.
Right.
And that's really nice, because if you need to look at content that bridges over pages, you can look at that content all at once instead of having to look at one section then the next.
Right. So cool new update to a cool product. And as always, they are cool sponsors to have. So we'd like you to go to smileonmymac.com/AWR. I don't actually think there's a current offer up there right now, by which I mean I know there's not a current offer up there right now, but it does have links to all their products. And we're going to see about getting a new special offer for the next show that they sponsor.
I think that would be great.
I think that would be really nifty. We like Smile on My Mac, and PDF Pen Pro is a great product.
It is. And even without a discount, it's worth every penny.
Indeed. Indeed it is. So, that said, I had a really interesting conversation with Ezra Gottheil of TBR. That's the Technology Business Research Inc.
Right. And this is where you found out that the PC market has bottomed out as far as prices go.
Yes, right. He sent a research note out. It's not like this is some kind of special conversation he and I had. We also had a conversation talking about his research note. But the research note basically just says that PC vendors basically have succeeded in turning the PC into a worthless commodity. That's the long and the short of it. People don't want to pay money for a PC unless it's an Apple branded Mac. That's the facts, Mac. And so what I did is I talked to him. And as we're recording this, the article hasn't been finished or published at TMO. So we're actually talking about it before we're going to publish the article.
So we're actually talking in a time warp right now.
We are. But the article will be up on Friday at the same time that the show is going to go live. So point being that I asked him how this really kind of works for Apple. And what Ezra's thoughts are it's funny because let's look at that quote. Companies that can figure out how to embrace the trend, that's not the quote I wanted. Vendors must look to change their relationship with buyers, establishing long-term relationships and providing valuable paid services after the sale. No longer dominated by hardware or software, PCs are becoming a service business. Now, with the exception of that part about a service business, what's the one company that this applies to? That's already doing this, that establishes long-term relationships that provide valuable paid services after the sale.
That sounds a lot like Apple.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Yeah, just a touch.
And by the way, one of the things that he talked about and that I would very much agree with is he referred to Apple's network of Apple retail stores as something that customers derive value from, knowing that they can go there for support.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is certainly it's a very important point. But the question was, because you look at the rest of the PC industry, they all make boxes for Microsoft software. Some of them make boxes for Linux. None of which they control. Apple's the only company, as we know, that controls the whole widget, which is right. Part of why Macs just work, why they work so well. It's part of the puzzle. And when these companies aren't thinking in terms of software at all, they're not software companies, which companies can make that kind of transition to assuming, of course, that he's right, to looking at their computers as a means of establishing these long-term relationships and selling, you know, services after the fact. I mean, you know, can Dell do that? I don't think so.
I don't think Dell could do that, but I think that there are PC companies out there that could, assuming they completely change their philosophy about how they market and support their products, which is exactly what you're saying. But here's where I'm going with this. So instead of being a company that sells computers, what you do is become a company that caters to a specific market, and then you do an all-in-one package. We're starting to sound like Apple in that sense, but they, you know, so maybe they're making their cheap PCs, but then they're preloading them with all of the specialized software that they need for whatever that market is, and so then they go in and sell a whole package to that industry, where it's the right software with the support and everything else, and it just happens to use hardware that they produce.
Yeah, well, who's going to make that right software?
And
Microsoft,
that's going to have to be alliances, where you're going to get these software companies that are teaming up with the hardware companies to produce stuff like that. That's the only way I see something like that working.
Right. And it might happen. I would say that HP would be a good candidate for actually making something like that happen.
Yeah, I could see HP being able to pull off something like that.
And, you know, that's effectively is, to a certain extent, is IBM's business model and has been for a long time, even though IBM did sell off its PC business to Lenovo.
Well, that's right. That's where Lenovo came from.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. The other thing, though, is, again, pertaining specifically to Apple, I said, how do you see Apple fitting into this? And he said that he believes that Apple is going to be going from one of the companies that competes at the high end to the only company that competes at the high end that is at the high end.
That's interesting.
It is a very interesting thought. And from Ezra's standpoint, he thinks that Apple is going to have to have some kind of price compression, because the differential is, you know, it's going to go from you being able to compare an Apple built Macintosh to a similarly configured machine from another company to not having anything to compare it against. Because right now, when you do those comparisons, Apple doesn't fare that poorly. Sometimes they even win, right?
Right.
Right. Well, now what happens with, you know, everything is a piece of crap netbook or its desktop equivalent? You know, how do you make that comparison? So, you know, it's a really interesting issue, and definitely Apple is going to be able to find some room in its pricing, because now you have to remember Apple is not out there trying to make, you know, $1 jillion on the sale of each Mac. Apple is selling its computers at a price that offers a reasonable rate of return, a reasonable profit, that supports the R&D and marketing and other efforts that they go through to make their products possible. Something that no other computer maker does. You know, no other computer maker does any R&D besides, you know, you got your HPs, your Apples, your Microsofts, and your Intels. Those are the four companies that are doing any kind of R&D, and HP isn't doing any R&D on the computer side. They're doing R&D on things like the printer side and the IT and the enterprise markets, right?
Well, they occasionally will do R&D on the computer side also. And as an example, some of their desktop models, they actually went in and did a lot of research on acoustics and figured out how to make their tower substantially quieter than a Mac Pro.
Oh. That's good.
Yeah, which is a good thing, because now Apple has competition in that respect, and yeah, so that'll be good for everyone. So they do a little bit of R&D on that computer end also. But you're right. They're one of the only companies out there other than Apple that's actually doing that kind of stuff.
And I'm delighted with that. I mean, I want quiet computers. I like someone trying to put, you know, keep on Apple's, now there's a phrase I can't remember, but basically, you know, just trying to keep them on their toes. But the point is that, you know, this whole notion of Apple trying to compete on price, Apple has shown that A, it doesn't need to, and B, that there's plenty of market that's willing to pay for a product that doesn't suck.
Right.
But what happens when that price differential once again becomes enormous?
That's going to be a tough one for Apple to deal with, and especially after they've already said publicly that they don't know how to make cheap computers. And by cheap, I mean crap.
Yeah, they can't make a $500 computer that's not a piece of crap or something like that.
Right.
Something to that effect. So one of the points I was about to make was that Apple is going to find that some of its component pricing is going to get cheaper. So that will give them some room on their prices, right? Because if their margins, the cost of goods goes down, Apple would be able to lower its price. As a matter of fact, that's part of what we saw with the new iMacs and Mac Pros.
And Mac Pros, right.
So I don't know. It's really interesting. The research note was interesting. His thoughts about how Apple's going to do it are all very interesting. I don't know that I agree with 100% of it, but I agree with a lot of it. And it's one of the best research notes I've seen come through in a while. And I look forward to finishing this article and getting it up on Friday.
I'm looking forward to reading the whole article. And since we're in a time warp, I loved the article. The ending was fantastic.
You're a funny man, Jeff.
That's all I've got. And our studio audience, they totally encourage me to act like this.
That's true. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're awing that. They don't seem too happy with that one.
Well, I can't win them all.
All right. On that silly note, why don't you take us out?
Oh, we've already made it that far through the show.
We have.
It's amazing. Time just flies when we're having fun. All right. So if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@magobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to Steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback. And feel free to follow me on Twitter. That's twitter.com/jgamut.
And you can follow my account at twitter.com/TMOBrian. That's Brian with a Y. Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. That's all for this week, except for the fact that I will promise our listeners we really are working on some changes to the show that are going to kind of make a lot of sense when we actually make them. So changes in presentation more than substance.
They will. Yeah. And yeah. So, of course, stay subscribed.
Stay subscribed. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.